Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
All right, who's excited? Who's excited to cry this morning in church? Some of you have never cried before in church. This is your day. I declare it in the name of Jesus. We don't have tissues for you, but hopefully you just use your mask if you need to at different parts. But hey, we're glad that you're here again as we dive into this movie, I Still Believe. So who's ever seen a movie before that had a terrible ending to it? Anybody? Like, you were just like, I'm never watching that. Well, hands up everywhere. I'm never watching that movie again. Maybe for you, you were really pulling for her to end up with him, and she ended up with the other guy. You're like, I am never watching that romantic comedy ever again. That is not how I wanted this to go. Maybe it was an action movie and you were pulling for your superhero, you were pulling for the hero of the story, and they didn't make it out. And so we've all experienced those terrible endings in movies, and we all know what that's like to just watch the movie and say, that was horrible, I'm never watching that again. And it's easy when it's a movie. You just kind of give it a thumbs down, bad review, and we move on, and just that's never happening again. But it's not that easy in life. Right, it's not that easy when life deals us what we're calling today a terrible ending. The title of my message is A Terrible Ending. What do we do with that? See, in this series, we're asking these big questions. Last week, we asked about how do we have hope. Today, we're asking this. What do we do with a terrible ending? That's our question. What do we do when life doesn't end the way that we plan for it to end? Right, we're still facing this pandemic, this crisis that we're in, and maybe for you over this season, you've experienced terrible endings. You've prayed for people to be healed, and they weren't healed. Maybe for you, a terrible ending in your life was a day where you said, I do, to another person, and the other person didn't. The marriage ended terribly. Maybe it was a day where a child of yours vowed, I'm never speaking to you again, and they still haven't. Maybe for you, it's been financial, and you built the business, or maybe personally, you had to declare bankruptcy, and you just felt like that was such a gut punch, and what am I going to do now? And this wasn't part of the plan. It was a terrible ending. So what do we do with those moments? Because today, if you're not following Jesus and you don't have faith in him, I would love to oversell you, and I'd love to feed you something that could get you to sign a card and say a prayer and say, if you follow Jesus, you'll never have a terrible ending. If you give your life to him, things will always go well. You'll never have hardship, but that's just not true. Whether you follow Jesus or not, life does terrible things, doesn't it? Life still has a way of doing terrible things. My mask totally messed with the placement of my mic. That's what I'm realizing. I think I got it better now. We see that it doesn't matter how much we pray and all this stuff, it still happens. There's still terrible endings. So today, we want to talk about what we do with those terrible endings. And so in this movie, I Still Believe, it follows the relationship of Jeremy Camp and Melissa. And as you saw, this is based on a true story. Jeremy Camp today is a famous musician, songwriter, and he follows Jesus. But we're going to look at his story with his wife, Melissa, and see what they had to face and what they had to go through. And how we can discover some truth when we inevitably face these terrible endings. So what we're going to do is not just look at Jeremy and Melissa, we're going to look at John the Baptist. Who you're familiar with John the Baptist, right, from Scripture? So John the Baptist, if you're not, he wasn't called John the Baptist because there was John the Presbyterian, John the Lutheran, John the Methodist. It was John the Baptist because he was John the one who baptizes. In fact, today, after our 11:30 a.m. service, we've got people getting baptized behind the building in our baptism tank. The water's chlorinated, so we can do it. So we're excited for that. And I'm rocking the Made New shirt. And if you're not familiar with what baptism is, if you've put your faith in Jesus and have not been water baptized, that's your next step. And it's simply identifying with the power of God. It's this powerful symbol and command that God gave his followers to go and be baptized. And so we identify with the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to celebrate big with those people getting baptized today. But John, he was baptizing. And John had this following. In fact, I believe if John was around today in 2020, he would be on social media and have the handle at JTBOfficial. That would be John. He'd be using hashtags like sweet as honey, camel hair, don't care. And I think these jokes are hilarious. You should laugh way harder than you are. The nine, they love these. But here it is, John. He had a great start to his ministry. Great start. He was out baptizing people and people were following him and they enjoyed hearing him speak. And look what it says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. People from Jerusalem and from all of Judea and all over the Jordan Valley, they went out to see and hear John. Think about that. All these regions, they're going out and they want to see and they want to hear John. It's like, I want to get baptized, but I want to get baptized by John. He's the guy that I want to do it. It says in verse 6, and when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. And what I want you to realize here is that John is living out his destiny, that John was prophesied about, that hundreds of years prior to John's birth, there were prophets like Isaiah and Micah who had declared, there is one coming who will prepare the way for the Lord. He's a voice crying out in the wilderness. He'll make straight the paths for Jesus. And John was born miraculously to two aging parents who were told, you'll never have kids. And he's born. And he's the older cousin of Jesus. I mean, how cool is that at family parties to know that I'm the cousin of Jesus? Right? I got to believe that they had some sibling rivalry when they were younger. Maybe Jesus would walk on water at the pool and John would be like, I'm going to baptize you someday, bro. I don't care. I'm 6 months older. Don't forget that. I don't know if any, that's not biblical at all. I don't know if he walked on the pool water when he was a kid. But think about John's legacy and his history, and now the word we're going to talk about today, his destiny. And it feels like at this point in his ministry, he's fulfilling his calling, he's fulfilling his destiny. He's doing what he was called to do. He's preparing the way for Jesus, he's baptizing people, and things are going great. See, maybe you're in a season today where things feel like they're going great, where you're living out your destiny. Maybe you prayed and prayed to be a parent, and now you have a beautiful child, and you thank God for that gift. Maybe you prayed to find someone and felt like, God, I can serve you better if I'm with someone and you're married. Maybe it's in your singleness where you're praising God, saying, God, I see all those unhappy married people. Thank you that I am single. I can serve you so much better. Whatever it is, you just have that experience where today it might feel like, man, I'm living out my destiny. I'm living out my calling. And that's where John finds himself at the start of his story. And that's where Jeremy and Melissa find themselves as they begin to date. And here they are. They meet in college, and it's comical. It's a great movie if you haven't seen it. And Jeremy's trying to ask Melissa out, and she just keeps rejecting him. And then finally, they go on their first date together. And I want you to take a look at this clip, and I want you to hear something that Melissa has to say about destiny. All right, so take a look at this. Did you hear what she had to say there? That he has a destiny just for me, and I'm going to figure it out. And we believe that for you today. It's why we say it so often. You were created on purpose. What is it? For a purpose, right? We believe that is true. I don't believe that you're an accident. I don't believe that the fact that you're here today online or in this building is by chance or accident. No, God has a plan for your life. He has a calling for you. And the beauty of following Jesus is that you surrender your plans and your will to the will of the one who made you. And you start to live out that destiny. But if you're a parent here, like me, you probably have a prayer for your children and pray that they fulfill their destiny. And I'm sure that your hopes and your dreams for them are beautiful. And for me, I pray that my children would live long lives and bring glory to God and be trailblazers for him. And we pray that and we experience that. But sometimes we also experience heartache and pain and challenges and setbacks and what feels like roadblocks to the destiny. Think about it. If maybe you had a destiny or a dream that you felt like, man, I'm going to be married. It's going to be beautiful. And it's going to be just like all the fairy tales. And then you get married. And then you realize, wow, there's a lot of pain that goes with this. And maybe we weren't soulmates. And maybe we weren't perfect for each other. And now there's setbacks and challenges and you work through it. So for John, he's living out his destiny. And Jesus comes one day to the shores of the Jordan River, and John declares, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus says, baptize me. And John's like, no way, cuz I am not going to baptize you. I should be baptized by you. And he says, no, this is what God wants. Baptize me. Jesus was setting an example for us. And so if today you're following Christ and you're saying, I don't know if I need to be baptized, your Lord and Savior set the example for us to be baptized. And so Jesus is baptized in the Jordan, and then Jesus' ministry begins. Now, I love Blaze Church. I tell people who I'm talking to that if I wasn't pastoring Blaze Church, I would come and sit at Blaze Church. I love it so much. I love this church. My children are growing to know Jesus in this kids' ministry here. I love it, but I'll be honest with you guys. If Jesus himself opened a church down the road, I'm going there, okay? And I believe that you would too. Like, PK, you're awesome, but I'm going to maybe catch you at the 11. I'm going to the 9 with Jesus, right? And that's what we would do. And so imagine John, his cousin Jesus, starts a ministry. And now it's like, okay, am I going to go to John, who's just eating locusts and honey? Kind of weird. Am I going to go to Jesus? Like, and look at what John's disciples say. John chapter 3, 26. So John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, he's also baptizing people. And everybody's going to him instead of coming to us. They're like, John, go talk to your cousin. Come on, we claimed this area. Our ministry was thriving. We were doing great, but now Jesus is doing it and everyone's leaving us. We're losing our fame. Your destiny is being impacted. And so what does John do? He gets new PR. He unrolls a new social campaign. He trades his camel hair for an Armani suit. He doesn't do any of that. Look at his response. He must increase. Say this with me. But I must decrease. John responds at looking at his destiny being impacted and says, guys, he's got to increase. I've got to decrease. And I sat there and I stared at these words that I've read before and I've said before, and I just wrote in my notes, how? How does John respond to the challenge and the setback that way? How can we respond when it feels like the destiny, the dream, the goal has been negatively impacted and say, he increases, I decrease? We're going to discover the answer to that in just a few minutes. But with Jeremy and Melissa, they end up getting married, but Melissa is diagnosed with cancer. And before they're married, they're going through the treatments, and it seems like they can't stop the cancer from spreading. And the doctors then see that it has spread now to her ovaries, and they say, we have to remove your ovaries. You're not going to be able to have children. And that's heartbreaking for them to know. Now we can't have kids. And so they schedule the surgery. And I want you to take a look at what happens when the doctors go in for the surgery. So at this point in their story, they're celebrating. I mean, the prayers worked. They prayed and believed, and God healed. And it feels as though the destiny for Melissa and Jeremy is that her story would be that she tells others, I'm a walking miracle. Maybe you know someone like that. And we celebrate that. And their destiny is to say, God's hand of healing was on my life, and I'm a testimony of his miracle. That was the ministry of Jesus, that people were healed. That's why we pray and we believe for healing today, and we anoint and we call on his name and believe that God is able to heal. So it feels like it was just a setback. It was just a challenge. And if he could just push through this, then I can fulfill the destiny that God has for my life. 6 months later, Jeremy and Melissa are married, and on their honeymoon, Melissa begins to experience pain. They go to the doctors, and they hear the news that they feared the worst. The cancer has returned, that it's very aggressive. And the doctor says, there's no more surgeries. There's no more treatment. Can't do anything. And I want to say this, that if you think today that the Christian life and that following Jesus means that every morning you wake up with an unwavering faith, with just no ounce of doubt, then I would suggest you're not living out real faith yet. Because real faith is often coupled with real doubt in seasons. Thank you. I would amen myself if I got no amen there, because I felt it. Real faith is often hand in hand with real doubt. I don't wake up in the morning because I'm a pastor and I levitate to the kitchen and the angels are pouring my coffee. Gabriel, 2 shots of espresso today, please. I want to really experience his presence. Okay, that is not my life at all. And if you've met my children, you know that's not my morning. It's very loud. I have real doubt. I have real faith. It goes hand in hand. There are moments where I ask God, you put a dream in our hearts to build a giant building, and then you closed our tiny one. What in the world? What do we do with this? We have those moments. And so if that can just bring some comfort to you today, if today you are facing what feels like a setback or a challenge to your destiny, and you're saying, but this can't be the story, and you're feeling doubt, God is not angry with you. God is welcoming you. It's why David writes such raw and real psalms expressing, where are you, Lord? Why have you forsaken me? My soul is longing for you. We bring that to God. And sometimes the destiny is a terrible ending. For John the Baptist, I mean, this was a guy that served Jesus faithfully. He was prophesied about. He prepared the way for the Lord. He preached the good news. And you know what happened to John for preaching? He was put in prison. Herod had him thrown in jail for preaching God's gospel. And in jail, John starts to doubt. His circumstances are so heavy. His situation is so real and so weighing on him. Look at what it says. That when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he heard how Jesus was healing people and teaching people. He sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Do you hear what John is asking in that moment after he has spent his life committed to the gospel? Is it even worth it? Are you real, Jesus? Because if you were real, cousin, if you were real Messiah, I wouldn't be in prison. He gets his guys to go ask him, are you really the guy? Because do you see what I'm going through? Do you see the terrible ending that I'm facing? And his disciples go to Jesus, and Jesus comforts them and says, I am the guy. Tell John I'm the Messiah. Tell him everything you're seeing. The deaf are hearing, the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, the dead are raised to life, and they go back and tell John. But John's destiny is to die in that prison. Shortly after that, he's executed, beheaded. So I'm trying to wrap my head around how someone can follow Jesus and can live for him, and their destiny is a gruesome death alone in a prison cell. See, that's why we are adamantly against the prosperity gospel at Blaze Church. That's why when you come or you invite your friends, we are adamantly going to oppose any gospel that says follow Jesus and find financial blessing and find the healing you're searching for and find all of these horizontal things, because that is not the gospel, my friends. Trust me, I wish it was. My job would be so easy if it was. Sow a seed. I got you an anointed rag on your way out today. Go anoint your mailbox and get a letter in them. I don't know. I'm sure someone on late night televangelist is preaching it somewhere. That's not the gospel. Jesus said, come follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross. You pick up a cross to get nailed to it. We wear it around our necks like jewelry, but Jesus told his disciples, you're going to deny yourself. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. So what do we do then when we face the terrible ending? Because for John, his destiny appeared to be die a gruesome death alone in a prison cell. For Melissa, she ends up passing away from the cancer. And it's at that moment that Jeremy's faith is completely rocked, and he questions God, and he runs from God, and he takes the guitar that he was to write music to worship God with, and he smashes it. And he finds in that smashed guitar letters that Melissa had been writing in her journal entries that she had been stashing in there. And I want you to take a look at one of her notes that she wrote to Jeremy. Did you hear what she had to say there? She said that for some, the destiny is miracles and healing. For others, the destiny is suffering and death. But I loved her words. She said, both have value. And I know that doesn't equate logically to us, because we look at one and say, no, that's the right way. That's the good way. And that's a terrible ending. And I want to read you this. She said, each is a chapter in a bigger story. Suffering doesn't destroy faith. It refines it. Suffering refines our faith. See, she borrowed that, I believe, from James, the half-brother of Jesus, because he writes in his letter, count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials and tribulations of various kinds. And I'm thinking, man, if there was a verse I could just cut right out of the Bible, that might make it on my list. Count it all joy when you face trials and go through hardship. How about I don't go through hardship? How about I don't face the trials? But guys, we sing this and we read it. Are we ready to live it? We sing another in the fire. But you don't experience that anotherness unless you're in the fire. We don't truly experience the comfort and the peace of God unless our world is flipped upside down and we have the chaos and the pain and the heartache. I love one of the Psalms that says he is near to the brokenhearted. You want to feel the nearness of God, it requires a brokenheartedness. There is beauty and peace in his presence when we most need it. And so terrible endings have the potential to destroy you if you're not in Christ. That's the difference of being in Christ and not being in Christ today. If you want to know, you know, you've made a really good case for me to not worship Jesus today, Pastor Keith. I mean, you are just selling me on this whole thing. You're telling me if I sign up to serve him, I'm still going to have terrible endings? Yeah, but here's the difference. For those who are in Christ, the terrible ending does not have the power over your life to destroy you. It doesn't get the right to do that. Because even when your world falls apart, even if, God forbid, the thing that you and I would fear the most, I look at my little babies, I look at my wife, I look at this church, if all of it were stripped away, it still doesn't get the right or the power over my life to remove the saving work of Christ, because he's already overcome the grave and sin in my life. And I still have the hope and assurance that there is life eternal in his presence. And I still know that while I might be in the boat and the storm is raging, he's there in the boat with me. That's the difference of knowing Christ today and not knowing him. I want to give it to you this way. Your story exists for his glory. That's the Christian life. That's what it means to follow Jesus. For you every day to wake up and know, Lord, I don't know what today is going to hold, but I know that my story exists for your glory. Parents, this is how we can live open-handed with our children. This is how we can know when they enter a new season of life or when they're just so precious and you're holding them in your arms. You know, God, their story exists for your glory. And I have been blessed to parent these beautiful babies who belong to you. It's a totally different way to live our lives. That's why, what did we read? I want you to read it with me. John chapter 3, verse 30. Say this out loud. Let it get in your heart as you say it. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's the life of one who follows Christ. That's what we do with terrible endings. We say that's terrible. We acknowledge the pain. We feel it. God handles your anger. He can handle your grief. Don't run from him. Run towards him with all of those feelings in your heart. Bring them to the Father and allow his Holy Spirit to be the comforter that you and I both need. And so we're going to respond this morning by singing the song that Jeremy wrote for Melissa in this season. And this isn't just a movie. This is real life. Jeremy wrote this song, I Still Believe, when he went through his faith journey and saw his wife taken by cancer and read those notes in her journal entries and penned a song that says, God, I still believe in your faithfulness. I still believe in your holiness. I still run to you, God. So we're going to sing this song, and maybe for you today, you're not going to sing it. You're just going to listen. You're going to look at the words on the screen and allow these words to minister life and peace to your heart. And I want to pray for you before we sing, especially for you if you are facing something terrible or you know someone who is. Because I've had the privilege, but I would even call it the unfortunate privilege during this season over these past few months to walk many of you in this space through pain and loss of a family member because COVID claimed a life. Through watching dreams and a destiny fall apart because the business couldn't thrive. And so I want to pray that the God of all comfort would comfort you today. And so as I pray, if you're looking for God's comfort, why don't you extend your hand, not to me, but to God, to just say, God, I'm here and I need your comfort. And the team's going to join me on stage. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person in this space and our online family who are joining us this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be the God of all comfort to each one of us. That whether we are facing a terrible ending or we know someone who is, God, we ask and we believe that you see us, that you have a destiny for our lives, and it cannot be taken away by horizontal circumstances. God, help us in the terrible moments. Help us in the times where we waver in faith, where doubt wants to overtake us. Lord, we thank you that we can be raw and real and honest with you, and that in those moments, your Spirit can produce the faith that we need to trust you. So, Lord, we give you everything this morning. We say as John did, we decrease, you increase. My story, your glory. Jesus, we love you. It's in your name we pray, amen. Amen. Church family, I'm going to ask you to put your masks back on at this point. Join us, stand, sing this song out. May it minister to you. Now you know the story behind it. So I pray that it brings comfort to you.